I do a little stupid introduction and then, yeah, you're gonna see. Okay.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. This is Slick from Venue Music, and today I'm with Glam from the glam rock band, surprise, surprise, Wigwam.
Glam, hello.
Rock and roll. How are you, Glam?
Hi. I'm freezing cold. Just did an outdoor concert here in Norway, and it's minus 10. Ooh. And, you know, wearing just the spandex, it's pretty cold.
Yeah, but it looks
and
better, you know.
And parts of the body do shrimp. It is cold. So
did you put a cucumber in your trousers, yeah?
I did not. I tried to think of good things.
Okay, good. Good.
Yeah.
Even better, yeah.
Yeah.
In 29th of January, you released Nonstop Rock and Roll here in Europe.
Exactly.
First question, honestly. Wigwamania was released in 2006. What did take you so damn long?
Oh, well, people tend to forget that in 2007 we released, you know, Live in Tokyo and, you know, the Made in Japan DVD.
Well,
so that was in 2007 during, you know, the summer of 2007. So more or less 2008 and 2009 was 2 years, you know, two wigwamless years. And we simply just needed that break because after touring, you know, quite a lot, I must say, since 2001, you know, and it only, you know, the voice just expanded, you know, in 2004 and 2005. 2005 alone, we played 287 gigs.
Ooh,
that
yeah.
year. And we only took 5 days off, which was stupid when we think back now. We only took 5 days off during Christmas. The 3rd of January, we were back in the studio, and the 17th of March, 2006, the album was already out there, and we were on tour with a new set list and a new show. So we were, you know, we worked ourselves pretty much downhill.
Yeah.
And that year was a very hectic year too, and in 2007, we went to Japan for the first time. And then we decided, you know, because we were so fed up with touring and, you know, we literally lived in a suitcase.
Exhausted.
So we started, you know, to be kind of, you know, we lost respect for one another within the band.
Ooh.
And we were tired of seeing the other faces all the time.
Mm.
So I remember just before going to Japan the second time that year, that we decided, you know, now we should really, really take a long break. I think it was Teeny saying that, because he was, you know, he had lost, you know, the good feeling, the good vibe within the band. And we didn't want to set a date. We just said, okay, no dates. One of us is going to call the other guys when he's ready.
Yeah.
And then I was pretty prepared for that time out. We call it a time out. So I had already produced a Queen show. So I more or less went out on tour with that Queen show called The Show Must Go On, which was just meant to last for 5 dates. But, you know, it lasted, you know, the whole year 2008, and we grossed more than 100,000 tickets, and Teeny kept himself busy being a producer, and, you know, late, you know, fall 2009, late fall 2008, we started to, you know, make plans for a new record. Then suddenly Teeny was busy again with his schedule. He wasn't quite ready yet for it. So I decided to make a solo album instead. Went on tour with that one, and I did some TV stuff, you know.
So actually you didn't do a real break.
It was really just a timeout. And for my own sake, I've used that time to build myself an old brand here in Norway, being a host for lots of TV programs. I'm the host for the Norwegian version of Singing Bee.
Okay.
And I have my own, you know, Queen show, and I also hosted, you know, the big TV program called the Red Nose Day here in Norway, and just did the Battle of the Choirs here. And so I kept myself busy, but, you know, I always wanted, you know, I really longed for us to get together. And when we finally did, we had some hearts to hearts and finally was ready to deal with the music again, because all the personal stuff, you know, was put behind.
Yeah.
So this has put us, the camaraderie, you know, within the band, to a whole new level that is much healthier and much, you know, fresher.
Cool. That sounds good. So it was worth it, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Listening to Nonstop Rock and Roll, I mean, we still have all the, let me say, wigwam musts, but I would say it sounds a little bit heavier than the last long play album. What were your personal biggest changes on that one?
You know, we didn't, when we discussed what to make out of the album before even, you know, getting together for rehearsals, we decided, you know, to not even give a thought to, you know, making this a hit-based album. We wanted this to be, an album containing songs that we just, you know, felt a good vibe for. So we just started rehearsing and played, demos to each other that we'd done individually, and on this album, Tina and I decided to work more closer together than we did before, and we put the egos aside at last, and I think we made the best album so far. At least it feels like the best album for us, because it's it was the funniest album for us to make. It was, because, you know, we didn't fight in the studio. We were all, you know, concerned about how the album was going to end up. Not that I wanted to protect my babies and Tina didn't protect his babies.
Yeah.
It was all, you know, our own babies. And so we all helped out to, you know, see them grow up to become great babies.
A whole great healthy family.
Yeah.
Exactly. Talking about the songwriting, where is the point where it comes to the point where you guys say, okay, this is a new Wigwam song? What is the first thing you have to feel with the song when you decide, okay, this is one of our new songs?
We don't use much time on that. Actually, a good song is a good song, and when a good song is played by the band, either it stands out as a good song, or if someone doesn't feel, you know, this wasn't cool, this didn't give me anything, you know, then it's not a good song for us. We have to get the certain, you know, the kind of feeling within the band. It's a band thing. It's like a football game, you know, when the team feels, you know, that they are, you know, making the ball, you know, go to each other, you know, and everyone passes, you know, they have a good game. It feels like a good game. But when you feel that, you know, the other team is on your side of the, you know, you get my point?
Yeah, I get it.
It's a team spirit thing.
Yeah.
But of course, there were some songs, for example, From Here, that ballet.
Yeah.
That wasn't written originally for this album. That was a song that I originally wrote for my solo album, Magamination. But it didn't end up on that album because I already had another ballet there. And so I just played the song for the guys, and they loved it, and Tini wanted to change a bit on it and to make it more wigwamish, kind of. So it ended up on the album.
So basically, no matter what song is it, as far as you guys start playing it, it is a Big Wham song, right?
Yeah, even so with I Turn to You, I mean, that's a song originally from Mel C, but when it fell into our hands, it ultimately, you know, was played the way that we play songs. So, and we've done that before with other songs as well that originally didn't sound, you know, like a Wigwam song, but when we play it and I sing it, you know, it's certainly a Wigwam song.
from the very beginning, you has as a band a very, very strong image. Did you ever felt at some point you want to free yourselves from it?
Not really. There was one point, though, when we started to feel that we needed a break, because, you know, I was very... my image was probably the hardest part. I've always been a strong believer in a clear message. I mean, if you want an image, you know, you have to be... It has to be clear. People have to, you know, get it.
Yeah, from the very first point. Yeah,
and then sometimes you have to go to the extremes. And I went to the extremes. I was glam 24/7. And at the end of the day, I kind of lost myself into you know, a figure, you know, a stage persona. And I was starting to call myself glam. And so I just needed to take a step backwards. So in 2006, even while doing, you know, the Wigwam stuff and we were constantly on tour, I just came to that point where I just told the guys, you know, I just need to take a month or so to go and do some other stuff, because I just need to get the right balance, or else I'm you have to send me to a mental hospital. So I moved to England in Gloucester Road, lived there, and I got you know, one of the main parts in a musical called Chess. Mm-hmm. So I play the arbiter in Chess.
Okay, which is...
And then I re-released my first solo album called Wolf and Butterfly.
Yeah.
And I put on my father's old shirt just to remind me, you know, who actually brought me up and where I came from.
Yeah.
For me, that was kind of a therapy. And then I was ready to go on again. I had my therapy during that, while the other guys were still in the bubble. So when I returned, I was very ready, you know, to go on. But the other guys didn't have that therapy time. So when I got back to the band, pretty much ready to go, they were still going downhills.
Yeah.
So I remember when we went to Japan the first time, I was probably the only one who enjoyed that ride very much. The other guys were like, oh, we need to take a break, you know?
Mm-hmm. You just said, well, I had mine, yeah.
I took mine, and I hope for the guys to take theirs during that time. But, you know, so it's a mental thing. I mean, when you more or less live on the road and you are, you know, treated like a king or queen every day, you know, it does something to you mentally.
Beside all the cliches and all the image thing, is there a, because you said you like or you prefer strong and straight messages, is there a kind of subliminal overall message you want to bring across with the band, beside the glam cliches, beside the rock and roll cliches?
Kind of, because when we started this band, it was meant to be a band that, you know, people had, you know, had seen before and longed for, a band that, you know, could do something spectacular on stage and to give the audience a great performance, looking, you know, dressing up like the old school glam rock bands did. even though we made our own style, because we are four different personas with four totally different backgrounds. And back then, it was like a very tongue-in-cheek band. We even called the first album 667 The Neighbor of the Beast.
Yeah.
And we had songs like, you know, the best song in the world and all kinds of craziness. So I think we were pretty much like what Steel Panther are today.
Okay.
On the first album.
Yeah,
all the cliches, and we just, you know, we had a great time. And, you know, we put on international press conferences in Norway. We hired fictive journalists. And we have the red carpets, and we, you know, received, you know, the keys to the different towns, and without people having even heard of us. I mean, this was 2001, and we did lots of stuff. We often came in helicopter and limousines. We used all, you know, our fees on stuff like that to create the image that we wanted to create.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, on that road, certainly people started believing us. We had a massive following here in Norway, and Japanese fans started coming to Norway to see us. So after a while, we started to have this desire to become more, you know, to be more realistic, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
But even, it wasn't until late 2006, I believe, that at least me as a frontman started to create more, you know, my figure to become more part of the real me.
Yeah.
And after this timeout, it feels so much better to be on stage because I can be true to myself. I mean, we do the same stuff pretty much that we've done before, but I don't bring that persona with me off stage.
Yeah. Okay.
You see what I mean?
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's like Alice Cooper going around being Alice Cooper 24/7. It's a pretty hard life, I believe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What, do you have to kill your daughter every day? I don't know. Well,
That's
too tough. talking about glam rock in general, do you really? I mean, I personally had a great time in the 80s. And like you said, okay, in the beginning you tried. Yeah, well, you looked at the old school glam rock bands a little bit and created your own thing out of it. But do you think glam rock can take over? Yeah, well, like kind of take over the world a second time.
You know, today it's a very different times. I mean, it's everything is acceptable today. I mean, there's no, you know, trends or fashion music-wise today. I mean, everything is allowed, even the old school. I mean, back then, you know, in the early and mid-70s, it was like, you know, this new thing called glam rock and glitter rock and shock rock.
Yeah.
That was, you know, pretty trendy, and it mirrored the society. And then came, you know, the punk that mirrored the society even more, and, you know, the 80s, you know, with the, you know, all the new stuff that the 80s brought to the world. Now everything is possible, even, you know, vintage stuff and the new stuff and the rap stuff. And we are now on a tour here in Norway for the benefit of the Cancer Federation, with four other major acts in Norway, one of them being A1, which is a typical old, you know, like a boy band from the 90s.
Okay.
And the other band is a band called Paperboys, a rap band.
Okay.
And the fourth band, it's actually a singer doing, you know, folk songs. And we're a glam rock, hard rock band. And we have, you know, 7 to 10, 11,000 people out here in the cold.
Yeah.
And everything is acceptable. They will sing our songs. And when the rap band goes on stage, they have their major radio hits.
Yeah.
And the people will sing along for that. Because, you know, everything is allowed. And people like different kinds of style.
Which is a good thing. in general, I would say.
It's a good thing. Mm-hmm. It's a good thing. Even though we prefer, of course, playing our own concerts and having, you know, watching all the rockers out there. But, you know, we are also a crossover band as well, especially in Norway, because I've done so much stuff on TV and we were known here in Norway for being, you know, Norway's band in the Eurovision. Yeah. So we'll have people coming with wheelchairs, like 80 years old, you know, and we have the kindergarten kids, you know, wearing black lipstick, and I often get calls from parents, you know, being annoyed on, you know, my six-year-old son, what have you done to him? He wants to wear, you know, black lipstick in the kindergarten, and he puts on nail polish.
Okay.
What the fuck are you doing with his kids? And I say, it's a free world.
Yeah, well, when he wants to. But, you know, the good thing is when you can rock them from 4 to 80, I mean, that only can mean the band can last very long, right?
Of course. We have a big audience, at least here in Norway. But outside of Norway, I think we're building more, you know, the standard melodic rock crowd, of course.
Yeah. A little bit, yeah, of course, yeah. But you haven't toured so much, and that's going to be like my last question. Can you tell us anything about tour plans, especially here in Europe, way better in Germany? When are you coming over?
We're hoping to come over as soon as possible, actually. We were just turned down by by a festival that we wanted to play in Spain, actually.
Okay.
No, it was a week one headline gig, because on that weekend, you know, another big band was playing in Madrid, and we just accepted some cool gigs, and we're gonna do one gig in Germany that we will confirm pretty soon.
Yeah.
It's called the Heat Festival.
Okay, cool.
Yep, it's very close to Berlin, I believe, and it will be like, I think it's in is that in September, I believe.
Yes, one of the later festivals here, yeah, in the whole season. Yep.
Yeah.
I guess so too. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. But we are, you know, we are pretty much ready to go out there. Now we are finishing this Cancer Federation tour that will take us on, 11 dates, 11 big shows here in Norway. And we will just continue on our own tour starting the 20th of March in a place in Norway called Fosen.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will go to Japan, and we are also negotiating with different festivals and venues in Italy and Spain and UK.
Okay.
And this weekend we're going to Stockholm to play in Globen. We're warming up. The audience there, 20,000 people on Friday, 20,000 people on Saturday.
Cool.
That has bought tickets for the Eurovision, the Swedish final.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to do the warm-up show there and rock them all.
Great.
Give them some great music.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to do a number, you know, during the break, where I'm going to do a battle against the singer from the Poodles.
Yeah, I want to see that.
Sweden versus Norway, and can you believe it? Norway wins. It's already decided.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, yeah. Right. So it's more wrestling, not a battle.
But we are really looking forward to bringing this new show out to the masses and hopefully get to play some festivals. But, you know, a band like us, I think, you know, those big festivals pretty much still look on us like, you know, we're, you know, the clowns of rock and roll or something. But, you know, as soon as we get the chance, we'll rock the other bands off stage.
Yeah, I believe that. Yeah.
We are supporting Kiss now in Norway, the 14th of June.
Great.
Yeah. Duff McKee had called, you know, Live Nation. Live Nation had problems selling tickets, Kiss tickets on the 14th of June. So
okay.
they wanted, you know, something. I think they really wanted something, you know, not in the same style as Kiss. But at the same time, they needed to sell tickets.
Exactly.
And once we accepted the offer, they were very satisfied with the ticket sales. And that's pretty cool.
That's very cool. Yeah. Glam, I thank you very much for the interview.
Oh, this was my pleasure, really.
Wish you good luck for the rest of the tour. A good night today.
Yeah.
Because it's freezing outside.
Yeah, I just had a very hot shower and I'm ready for some sushi.
Yeah, well, then enjoy it. And I hope I call you again. We talk again when you release the next record or when you're here in Germany.
Probably when we come to Germany. And I want to say to all the German fans that we met along the way and even on the Gotthard tour, we are looking so much forward to seeing you again. And this time we are going to blow you away.
Thank you very much, Glam. Enjoy the rest of the night. And yeah.
I will. Take care, my friend.
You too. Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.